ensure you see results. Learn more at goldenharvestseeds.com.
Not to brag, but Progressive's Name Your Price tool is mankind's greatest tool ever. Even better than the wheel. Sure, without the wheel, we wouldn't have modern transportation or funny videos of dogs riding skateboards. But without the Name Your Price tool, we wouldn't have easy access to auto insurance options based on our budget. And, well, cars do need wheels. They also need insurance, and insurance never goes flat. Learn more about the greatest tool ever, the Name Your Price tool, at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
It's your last chance to snag Dell Technologies' lowest prices of the year before the holidays. The future is on sale today with limited time deals on select PCs like the XPS 16 that accelerate AI with Intel Core Ultra processors. This is their biggest sale of the year and the best time to upgrade, but it's only here for a limited time. Shop now at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in Europe with fellow lawmakers at her office says she was admitted to the hospital for treatment.
The 84-year-old former House Speaker was with several other members of Congress in Luxembourg marking the 80th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge when her office says she sustained an injury. What that injury was is not clear, but it resulted in Pelosi being taken to the hospital for evaluation. Aides say she's receiving excellent treatment from doctors, but will have to skip the rest of the events around the anniversary of the battle.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. A U.S. official says the U.S. military has flown American Travis Timmerman out of Syria. He was imprisoned and was freed following the fall of the Assad regime. The 29-year-old, in a video after his release, says he was jailed after crossing the border earlier this year. In Southern California, crews still battling the Franklin wildfire. Fire in Malibu, but getting a break from those Santa Ana winds. The blaze is 30% contained. This is ABC News. As Luigi Mangione sits in a jail cell in Pennsylvania for allegedly killing United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson in New York, there are some who have been showing him support.
His supporters are donating tens of thousands of dollars to online legal defense funds, including one set up anonymously on GiveSendGo. The group saying, we are not here to celebrate violence, but we do believe in the constitutional right to fair legal representation.
ABC's Aaron Katursky, prosecutors in New York presenting evidence to get an indictment for Mangione. A cancer link prompting the FDA to require a mass recall of one class of drug used to treat anxiety and depression.
Patients may also know the medication by the brand names Cymbalta, Drizalma, and Irinca. The capsules distributed by Rising Pharmaceuticals contain impurities that may increase cancer risk over time. The recall, classified as Class 2, marks the FDA's second most severe risk level. Patients are urged to stop taking the medication and seek guidance from their healthcare providers.
ABC's Dave Packer.
Oh no, my phone.
Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. That's right. Now's your last chance to trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE5G. That's up to $1,900 in value. So you'll save big on three great gifts. Only at Verizon. Service plan required for watch and tablet. Up to $1,900 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
The county just requested more electric charging stations.
Orders have really amped up at Able Electric.
We need three more at First in Maine, and we just got another hotel chain.
It's no shock. Able Electric needs Able Electricians.
Grocery store wants charging stations, too.
And fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Court appearances for three men facing charges in connection to false Republican electors in the 2020 presidential election. Attorney Jim Troupas and two others made initial appearances in Dane County Court Thursday on charges filed by AG Josh Call, which Troupas afterward characterized as lawfare.
The Attorney General has today doubled down on a vicious strategy to destroy our very faith in the system of justice by using the courts for his own personal political gain.
Troopers Kenneth Chesbro and Mike Roman face felony charges in connection to 10 Wisconsin Republicans who signed a certificate claiming Donald Trump won the 2020 presidential election in Wisconsin. Their next court date's January 28th. Oshkosh Corporation's production of new delivery vehicles for the U.S. Postal Service is off to a rocky start.
The Washington Post reports Oshkosh has delivered just 93 of the 3,000 next-generation delivery vehicles that were expected by the end of November. The story cites internal documents and communications from the company, blaming the delays on an inability to calibrate the vehicle's airbags, leaking chassis, and problems securing bodies from Challenge Manufacturing in Michigan. Those issues were reportedly kept from the Postal Service by Oshkosh executives. The report also claims the Oshkosh plant in Spartanburg, South Carolina, is producing just one NGDV a day instead of the 80 that were expected by this point. Terry Kovarik, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wisconsin has a new case of highly pathogenic avian influenza in a flock of more than 13,000 turkeys on a farm in Barron County. State veterinarian Darlene Conkle.
DACCAP animal health officials are working with USDA animal health officials to respond to that detection in a joint response.
Conkle says the affected premises has been quarantined and won't move poultry or poultry products. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Goodrich Funeral Home of Durand wants to wish you and your family Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. The staff at Goodrich Funeral Home wish you goodwill and cheer during this busy time of the year. It is their hope that if you know someone who has lost a loved one, that you send a card or give them a call. Let them know you are thinking of them. Holidays can be a very hard time for someone who has lost a loved one. Goodrich Funeral Home, serving the Durand area for five generations.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's only up from here, with sunny skies today and temperatures rising all throughout the afternoon, even into the evening and through tomorrow. They'll wind up flirting with the freezing mark tomorrow afternoon as a major system moves in, bringing a wintry mix of snow, sleet, and freezing rain. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 10 degrees at our studios.
Well, not a great finish to the week in the grains, with corn hitting a solid wall of chart resistance. But with strong demand, will it eventually break out and take wheat and soybeans along for the ride? And cattle ended mixed with sharply higher cash and the backdrop of the border reopening soon to Mexican feeder cattle weighing on feeders.
Live from the final Christmas cookie-style lap via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Darren Fry from Water Street Solutions. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, filling in for Chip Flory, Ag Day national reporter, Michelle Rook.
Hey, Davis. Been a good week for you?
It's been a great week for me. How has it been for you? It's been terrific.
Busy.
You've been busy. Able to carve out some time, or I'm not sure what you had to do to make time to be here with us, but doggone it, we sure do appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. It's just, you know how it is this time of year when everybody else is trying to take their vacation as we get close to the holidays. You feel like the little boy standing at the dike putting your fingers in the hole so the water won't come out.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like this week. So
wow. Well,
I'm covering for everybody.
We're almost there. Here, you know what? Christmas is coming right up. I've been playing music all week. Let's just take a moment, okay?
Are you going to play me something on your piano?
From the AgriTalk Men of Song, here comes this.
Santaflation, please bring down my inputs costs. Santaflation, before all of my profit is lost. Santaflation, 'cause mama needs a new pair of shoes.
Now, inflation is something that we were talking an awful lot about a year ago when the AgriTalk Men of Song first recorded that song, and it is still in the news today. We talked about fertilizers the other day, Michelle, and I don't think we're going to get much of a break on fertilizers either. Inflation's still a thing.
Well, and PPI this week was at, I believe, 3%. CPI was, 2.3%. So we're still... We're still seeing some problems in the general economy, but like you say, the ag economy certainly facing a lot of headwinds. Indeed. I love your song, though.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you. The guys work really hard on those. I don't know when they do those. It must be the middle of the night. But you've got Darren Fry, Water Street Solutions, and he's a great one to talk about this stuff, isn't he?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll run the gamut with Darren today. He can talk about anything.
Excellent. Well,
but
if you're
ready. But a down day in the greens today. So,
it was.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Indeed, winter wheat futures continue to face persistent selling pressure following Wednesday's short-term top. Ukraine's grain production is a little bigger than previously expected, though exports are expected to fall. The Grain Industry Association of Western Australia raised its estimate for wheat production in the state, saying yields from the ongoing harvest continue to exceed expectations. March HRW wheat futures were 6 cents lower on the day, 5.56¾. March SRW wheat down 6¼ cents to 5.52¼. Still waiting on the settlement on the March spring wheat. Unless you've got it, Michelle, I've got it at 5.98, down 4½ cents on your March spring wheat. Now let's check in with our weekly closes here. March hard red winter wheat on the week actually up 3½ cents. March soft red wheat down a nickel. We've got harvest going on in Australia. Michelle, a reminder, there's pretty much any time of the year, of the calendar year, there's wheat being harvested somewhere, isn't there?
Yeah, it is. It is a global product for sure. And so we're always watching somewhere in the hemisphere. I would say today, though, it looked like wheat kind of got caught up in the push off in corn and soybeans, too. So it was kind of a commodity wide sell off day in the grains.
Yeah, it sure was. Well, yesterday's pressure on corn futures continued in today's trade. Corn planting is on hold in parts of Argentina's top corn-producing province due to a lack of rain, this according to the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange. China's total grain production reached a record of 706.5 million metric tons this year, according to the Bureau of Statistics. That's up 1.6% from last year. The corn crop was a record 294.92 million metric tons, up just over 2% from last year, boosted by larger plantings and increased yields. That's in China. March corn fell 2¾, 4.40¾. May corn down 3 cents to 4.48. July corn futures ended the day at 4.52¼. That's down 2¾ cents. And on the week, March corn actually up 7½ cents. No, actually up 0.75¢. There we go. If I get my decimal point right, Michelle.
Yeah, we got the nice push out of the report, obviously, with that 200 million bushel ending stocks drop. But then we ran up into chart resistance and have set back as a result of that on probably some profit taking. I'm going to ask Darren a little bit about the dynamics it might take for us to finally get through those resistance areas.
Yeah. Well, pressure on soybean oil and meal weighed on soybean futures in today's trade. USDA did report daily soybean sales of 200,000 metric tons to unknown destinations for 24-25. Industry group Abiove increased its 2025 Brazilian soybean production estimate up 1 million metric ton from the previous forecast. Meanwhile, the U.S. ag industry has began talks with Donald Trump's transition team in a bid to advocate for the sector as the president-elect pledges tariffs. Jan beans 8¼ lower today, 9.87½. March beans off 9 cents, 9.94¼. July beans closed at 10.15¼, down 8½ cents on the day. And on the week, your January bean futures down 6¼ cent all told.
They want Trump to go back and ask for China to actually extend the phase one. I'm a little skeptical about whether that will happen in the long run.
Yeah. Well, March cotton today shimmied 82 points lower to 69.27 on the week, off 84 points. On your livestock's feeder futures turned lower after reports Mexican cattle imports could restart soon as live cattle found support in this week's strength in the cash market. December fat cattle firmed $1.52½ to $1.93.65. February futures added $1.17½ to $1.92.02½. And January feeder futures down 70 cents today to close at $2.5767½. Your February fat cattle up $5.85 on the week. January feeders up $1.85 all told this week. And on the snout side, February lean hog futures shot higher after surging above key resistance at $85. although lagging cash market fundamentals may limit near-term upside potential. December lean hog futures today firmed 17.5 cents to 83.72.5. The February contract up $1.12.5 to 85.60 on the week. February hogs actually under pressure, down $1.72.5. But with the hogs in particular, it does seem like this move makes sense to us here. Maybe just a little slight setback on the week, but they sure do look strong, don't they, Michelle?
Yeah, I know, and it seems like I was talking to Oliver Slip about that for Ag Day markets, and I said it seems like we get hedge selling pressure in the hogs, and then the funds use that as an opportunity to buy on the break, and they are still, I think, record long in that market, so it's crazy.
Indeed, indeed. Well, looking forward to the conversation today with Darren. Yeah,
We got some lots of stuff to talk about, especially it's always interesting this time of year because you get into that light holiday trade and then we start flipping the calendar and the grains talking about South America. And so there'll be lots to talk about.
Excellent.
Darren Fry, Water Street Solutions. They'll be joining us right after the break.
As you plan the future of your farm, you've probably noticed something. It takes more than money. It takes a lending partner that keeps you fully prepared to leap when land becomes available. That's why FBN Finance created a simple, easy pre-qualification process valid for up to 180 days. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Help maximize your yield potential and savings with 0% financing on leading fungicides from BASF. You can't beat 0%, especially when you can save big on consistent performing fungicides like Revitec fungicide and Veltima fungicide until March 15, 2025. 0% financing means keeping more in your wallet for better ROI. Talk to your BASF retailer today about the Grower Finance Program. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions. See BASF Grower Finance Program for details. Always read and follow label directions.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, simplifying land loans to help family farms build a stronger financial future. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Brook in for Vacationing Chip Flory. A pleasure to have one of my dear friends along with us here for our Friday AgriTalk discussion, Darren Fry with Water Street Solutions and Advisory over in Peoria, Illinois. Welcome back to the show, Darren.
Well, thanks for having me. Good afternoon.
Yeah, you have all your Christmas shopping done, I bet, huh?
Oh, yeah. Been done for weeks.
I hate Christmas shopping, so I'm kind of like a guy in that respect. So one thing that I think has been a little bit of a Christmas gift for the market has been the 200 million bushel ending stocks drop that we got from USDA on corn in Tuesday's WASDE report. Corn ending a little bit higher for the week. We failed at some chart resistance right around the 450 to 451 and a half area, which is, I think, about the 200-day moving average. But do you think we're eventually going to get through these areas?
Yeah, I do. I think that corn has a fundamental story here, both domestically and for the export market. The fact that Ukraine and Brazil are not really competing with us right now, with a smaller crop, especially in Ukraine, that's going to bode well for us to have the lion's share of the business export-wise until we get into March or April. Argentina is planting corn earlier, so they will become more competitive and more competition for us as we enter, you know, that first and second quarter of 25, or I should say in the first quarter of 25 and begin the second quarter. But until then, I think we have the lion's share of the business, and I think we will get through 450. I think we just hit a lot of farmers selling on that first trip up. And hey, we'll see if we can't get through it on the next push. But if so, I think 465, 470 is kind of where we're going.
And of course, up at these areas, the funds are long. And so, you know, do they keep defending or adding to that long position, you think, here or not?
You know, I think they probably support their position there. You know, they're really short wheat, and obviously they haven't really backed off that much. We'll get a new COT report, obviously, today. We'll find out where they're at. But, you know, they're short beans, they're short wheat, they're long corn, and that's really the trends of these markets right now, with corn being the leader.
So you think demand is going to get us above those levels, that it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to have a weather problem in South America to go up into the upper areas that you just talked about from a price standpoint?
No, I think we'll go up there without a weather problem in South America. I think if we get a weather problem in South America, I think then that opens the door for like a $5 level. I don't think we have a high probability of doing that, because that weather impact is going to come to an end here by the middle of January. So we have a short four and a half weeks here to see a weather problem emerge. And right now, with everything fairly well watered, I don't see that as being a huge potential.
Yeah. And what do we know about in terms of the, you know, planting actually picked up down there in South America, especially on the second crop, safrina corn, after it will, or I guess the first crop corn got planted pretty well after we got some of these rains, is what I'm trying to say, right?
Yeah, well, a lot of that safrina corn, obviously, well, the majority of it was planted, you know, when they start taking the beans off, and they were delayed in getting started. So we could see that a little bit delayed. And then, of course, what will the weather be for them as we get out into that April, May timeframe when the rain normally shuts off? And so that'll matter. But I think for right now, it's more about Argentina than it is Brazil for the corn. And of course, soybeans as well. You know, they've cut back on corn acres in Argentina because of leafhoppers. They grew more soybeans. And so if we do have a weather story down there that suddenly emerges over the next 4 to 6 weeks, maximum 6 weeks, let's say, then I think that could help boost both corn and beans. But right now, I just think corn is living on demand.
So the extended forecasts look like Argentina could turn dry. Do you think if we saw that dryness actually materialize, how much could that add to the market?
Well, I think it would help bump soybeans as well as corn, but soybeans probably not over 1020, 1033 max on old crop. This would be a January contract I'm talking about. And then new crop beans, maybe up to 1040, 1050. As far as corn, I think that's when you definitely could get a move higher than the 465 if the market perceived that to be a real threat. But I do think that's going to be hard to do. I think farmer selling will meet corn at 465 in a big way, no different than it did at 450.
Yeah. And you know, as far as the corn market, it's really the leader right now, isn't it?
It certainly is. It certainly is. You know, we've seen the inventory coming down in corn. I was surprised that USDA did as much as they did in the December WASD. I really thought they would have done some of that in November, but they punted in November. They caught up in December. I would have to think they didn't do it all in December. So there's probably a little bit more demand to come. And then also then one has to wonder what happens with the final production number in January. They have a 183.1 on corn. Is it that, or is it 182.5 or 182? I don't know if it goes up just because they already moved it down a little in November. So there's a good chance that we might be the same or a little bit smaller in yield, and that'll tighten the balance sheet up even a little bit more.
Do you think that corn can on its own pull soybeans and wheat along? Because right now wheat feels like it's, or not wheat, well, wheat sometimes, but soybeans more so, feels like it's an anchor for that corn market.
Yeah, I think they're both an anchor. I think that corn can get up there. I don't know if it pulls them along or it just keeps them from breaking, but we really need to see two of them in the complex go. And if wheat would ever catch a bid, and corn's got its good fundamentals here right now, then you could see maybe beans pull up a little bit if both were going. But right now, wheat is kind of like a cold, wet blanket on top of corn, and beans are worse.
And corn at a 1.783 billion bushel ending stocks number, we're actually below last year, are we not?
Oh, yeah. We're below last year and probably going to get even closer to the mid-1.6s before it's all over. So they have more tightening to do on the inventory side, and that leaves us in a really good position here for higher prices, at least until we get, you know, into how is South America doing and what's our planting potential here as we get into the intention report in March.
Right. So, Darren, you mentioned that obviously the increase in farmers selling here kind of capped this rally and came in at around that 450 level. But before that, we had not had a lot of farmers selling, and basis levels had been very strong. The forward spreads had been working. You know, what's basis doing right now?
Well, basis has weakened in some areas, obviously, as the farmers is, you know, unlock the bin doors and let some of this go. But I still think that we'll see the spread stay somewhat supported just because that's more of an export function. And of course, the basis will be more of a domestic issue for what the ethanol grinders need, you know, to secure or livestock feed to secure corn. So I would expect there'd be a little bit of a firm tone here once this selling ends up being over, and then we see more farmers selling on the next rally. So I would expect some firming here.
And then we flip the calendar and we already start thinking about the acreage battle. And do you think corn right now is looking at some increased acres for next year?
You know, I do. And I think that's going to be based on how big the South American crop is on soybeans. If you look at what Brazil potentially can raise, and also Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, you look at the mass of those countries, South American production is up 25, 30 million metric tons over last year. And so we're going to be, you know, have the world flush with soybeans, right? Too many. And so I think that will hurt bean acres coming into our spring. There'll be more corn acres. And that's why longer term, even though fundamentally we have a story now in corn, I think that evaporates over time because we'll probably switch 2, 3, 4 million acres over to corn. And, of course, the 45Z also has a lot to do, you know, do you get approval with that or not? Because if you don't, if there's a lack of certainty of what that, you know, program holds, then you're probably going to hurt soybean oil demand, and that's going to hurt soybean acres even more and more corn acres. So there's a lot to come here, but I think corn acres are going to increase.
Even with input prices higher, fertilizer prices have gone up, you still think we just had better yields there, so the break-evens were better? Is that what the mentality is right now for farmers?
Well, I mean, look, in the past, we did have better situation because bean yields got hurt a little bit by that late season dryness. But I think you're going to have the ratios do their thing. Right now, you're like 2.39 or something like that coming into next year. But we're going to have to see corn gain on soybeans, and I think they will, a large South American harvest. And you see that spread get down to 2.2, 2.15, something like that. You're definitely going to plant more corn acres.
So last year, we put so much corn into storage. And then, you know, when we were at Commodity Classic the end of February, everybody had to deliver, and you saw that market just fall apart. What's the, do you think that's going to happen again? Or what's the pattern we're going to see for selling this year? Quick.
Well, you probably won't see that exactly the same because we're tighter inventory. But maybe I can address that more fully after the break here. I hear the music playing.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. But we'll talk about that when we come back because it's an interesting dynamic and it's going to obviously impact what price levels we have going into the spring.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll talk with Darren Fry, Water Street Solutions, when we come back here on AgriTalk.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council. Ad Council.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where March HRW wheat futures were 6 cents lower at 5.56¾. March SRW wheat softened 6¼ cents to 5.52¼. March corn fell 2¾ cents to 4.40¾. July corn futures ended the day at 4.52¼, down 2¾ cents. January soybean futures 8¼ cents lower at 9.87½. March beans fell 9 cents to 9.94¼. March cotton today, 82 points lower, 69.27. On your livestock, February cattle added 117.5 to 192.02½. Jan feeders off 70 cents to close at 257.67½. And February lean hog futures firmed a $1.12.5 to 85.60. Try profarmer.com.
Okay, antibodies, huddle up.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Daily money management from Numbers R Us. It's all the same things an accountant does for a business, but for you. Whether it's an older loved one, a member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Rhonda at Numbers R Us makes your financial life headache-free and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Rhonda handles bills, deposits, and payments, monitoring accounts, and providing complete transparency. Set up a free visit with Rhonda at numbersrus.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's only up from here, with sunny skies today and temperatures rising all throughout the afternoon, even into the evening and through tomorrow. They'll wind up flirting with the freezing mark tomorrow afternoon as a major system moves in, bringing a wintry mix of snow, sleet, and freezing rain. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 10 degrees at our studios.
4572. Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Rook in for Chip Flory, visiting with Darren Fry of Water Street Solutions. And right before the break, we started kind of digging into the selling patterns that we might expect from producers on corn here as we get into 2025. Because last year, Darren, we had a lot of corn that was put into storage. We kept rolling those contracts because of the carry in the market. And then it came the end of February, and we had a lot of basis fixed contracts that had to be priced or rolled, and it was just, we melted down. What do you expect this year?
Well, I think the farmer is a lot better sold this year than last year. I would estimate they're 40 to 50% sold prior to this last rally, and they unloaded quite a bit here at 450. So I'm still trying to figure out how much that was, but I think it's a lot different from last year. Because of last year. And so we got a better situation here to get the farmer sold out with better prices here. Post-harvest rally has been what we've experienced here with the largest crop ever, which is a phenomenal situation as we, you know, broke into August and then rallied all the way through harvest, firming basis, firming spread. And so I think the farmer has gotten a lot better opportunities to unload that grain. So I'm not sure we're going to have the same situation as last year, but whatever grain the farmer is holding, let's say we get new highs here at 465, I think they unload more, then I think the rest of it probably gets stored until we see what happens with South American weather on the Safrina and possibly our planting intentions as we enter our 25 growing season.
Well, that's good to hear, because I really felt like last year, because the funds actually knew that farmers held so much corn in storage that they kind of use that against farmers.
Well, they did. They were not fearful of their large short position because they knew the farmer had to unload it sometime, and that's how they exited. And that's actually what happened. This year is a little bit different. I think the farmer has more sold and the funds aren't short, they're long. And so, you know, this market has room for higher prices, but we got to have the right things lined up to take us above that 465 area. And I have my doubts on that. I think a guy should be pretty aggressive in that 465 area if possible.
Gotcha. And it's been a while since funds have actually been this long in the corn market again, right?
Yeah, it has. It has. And it's quite shocking, you know, that they got long right really through harvest and beyond. You know, maybe they're thinking inflation. Maybe they're thinking, you know, hey, the Fed's December 18th aren't going to, you know, lower rates. They're going to leave them unchanged or maybe even talk hawkish. I'm not sure what they're thinking, but they certainly are comfortable being long corn right now.
Long corn and they're short soybeans. And I know there's been some corn soybean spread action that has been a result of that. But we have a lot of winds and headwinds in the soybean market here, including South America's crop. And so is that the main reason January beans have just not been able to get above this $10 resistance area on the charts?
Yeah, it really is. They're just, you know, you can't make up a bullish story on soybeans. I mean, maybe the demand on the crush side is too light. Maybe we should have put more on this last USDA report, but certainly you can't argue where they got exports. And even though we've seen a lot of flash sales, we know that it's going to switch back over to South America here soon, and we'll be out of the export game. The question will be is do they, you know, do we get two or three more weeks just because of their late planting, or do the crushers of soybeans down South America take the lion's share of the first harvested? And that gives us a little bit more of a window. But all in all, we're going to run short on exports probably when it's all said and done, and we'll see South America take that over.
Yeah, and of course, demand has been picking up. Obviously, that has helped out here, both from the export and the crush perspective that you just mentioned. How much of the tariff fears are already programmed into prices, do you think, on soybeans?
Boy, that's really hard to measure. I know it's out here because we know the behaviors of Trump, the last administration. We know how he likes to talk tough and then do things like tariffs. And I don't think that is going to be good, obviously, for our markets. And I think that's the fear. And we'll have to see what happens. There's still a lot of uncertainty, but I think that has been somewhat of the wet blanket and the reason beans have acted the way they have, because we can't get a rally no matter what above about $9.95, $10. That's it.
And I know you told me earlier this week when we did markets that you really feel like the only way that we're going to get above those levels or even to hold where we're at is we got to have a problem in South America. But how big does it have to be to move the needle?
Well, I think you'd have to lose 10 or 15 million metric tons somewhere. And I don't see that happening in Brazil necessarily. I suppose you could lose 5 to 10 in Argentina if you got into an extended period of dryness. We know that beans got hurt here in the United States. I mean, we're headed for a 54, 55 bushel bean crop, and it's been pared back because we're dry from August 10th on. So it does matter how those beans finish down there in Brazil and in Argentina. We just don't see any indication of a problem yet. Could it still happen? Yeah, it could. But we need to see a curbing of yield by 10 or 15 million metric tons, I think, to really get beans excited above 10, 15, 10, 20 on old crop.
And the market will be comfortable. South America's crop is made. What, once we flip the calendar or in, when?
I think January 15th will be it. I mean, you'll know, and maybe before, maybe before. I could see beans just hanging out here and just, you know, biding time until you get out there where the market is comfortable, and then you start seeing a move lower toward, you know, $9 or even below.
The Brazilian basis levels and the Brazilian real has really dropped, though, has it not?
Well, that's really the challenge is our currency against theirs. You know, when you think about competition and what's happening, that's just going to make their beans way more appealing for the rest of the world when they come into their harvest. And so I think there's a lot of headwinds here because of our dollar. Right now, it doesn't matter on our export markets like with corn because we're kind of the only game in town. But eventually, when other supplies come back, that is going to matter to whoever is purchasing that grain, where their currency exchange ends up costing them for purchasing that grain. So that's a big deal. Our dollar remains strong. Other currencies weak. That's going to be hard for us.
Yeah, the dollar strength has been a headwind for our entire ag export sector, has it not?
Yeah, it has, especially where you have competition. Where you don't have competition, obviously, you know, we've had great exports on corn. We've had a stronger dollar. That's been going on for some time. That hasn't affected us yet, but it will once supply comes back in other countries.
What are you hearing about China's economy? Because the government, even this week, throwing more stimulus at the economy, but it doesn't seem to be working. Am I reading that wrong?
No, you're not. I mean, that's a real concern. They have a real estate problem. They also, I think the war in Ukraine, Russia, Ukraine has hurt them as well. I think they have a real problem. And that is the one thing that could make them more willing to work with the Trump administration is they're in a much weaker position than they were 6-7 years ago, the first go around. And so sometimes, you know, when a person's desperate or on your knees, you're a little bit more compliant, right? And they are in a position where their economy is really deflationary. PPI, ours is up, theirs is down. It's been down, I think, 36 consecutive months or something like that. It's unreal how weak things are over there. And it's been led down by real estate, but now their overall economy is just soft, soft, soft.
And China actually is floating or devaluing the yuan, I think, ahead of possible tariffs from the United States. But Trump says if they do that, he's just going to put more tariffs on. Is that what I read today?
No, it's what you read. He said, I'll just double the tariffs. And so I don't know what's going to happen. But rhetoric like that is not cool. But they are going to try to avoid the problems coming. And he's going to try to make those problems become real for him, I think.
Yeah, and they've talked about, you know, a possible solution, and I even talked to your friend Arlen Suderman about this week, that maybe they will push China to work on extending the phase one deal and buying more agricultural goods. Do you see that in the cards, and do we have to see tariffs before we get to that point so we have pain before we get gain?
Yes, I think both of those are viable outcomes, right? Because it could be that they feel like, hey, let's not go through the pain. Let's just negotiate. Let's get on board. Let's purchase product from the United States. Or it could be, hey, we're going to be stubborn and he's going to apply pain and then they're going to comply. And obviously the latter is the worst case for the American farmer. We want them to buy our products and buy them now. And that is what we hope the outcome to be. But it will be up in the air. As you know, Trump doesn't forecast what he's going to do. And And hopefully he makes good choices, but whatever he does will affect us, the American farmer, good or bad.
Can we go without the Chinese buying U.S. soybeans? Can they go without us? Can they go without buying U.S. soybeans?
Well, I think that'll be the position they're more so inclined to be able to do this next year, just because of the size of the crop. If something does not go wrong down there, we're just going to have a terrible amount of soybeans to compete against. And that's why I think our acres will end up being lower and we'll push more into corn. And it'll be reflected in the price as we move into 25. But I think that is what we're up against.
No doubt. I want to start a little bit of the discussion on inflation. You mentioned early on that you wondered if the funds were looking at the inflation data and anticipating maybe the Fed won't lower rates next week. CPI at 2.7%, PPI at 3% this week. That's a little sticky, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the CPI number was just a little bit greater, but the PPI was quite a bit. And that tells us the economy has not slowed enough and maybe they don't need to cut the rates. If they do cut the rates, which I don't think they have to, I think you might hear them speak pretty hawkish about the future. So okay. I'm not looking for a rate cut, but if they do, I think they'll speak pretty hawkish after that.
All right. I want to talk about what that might mean for money flow and everything else in the agricultural markets coming up here. Darren Frywater, Street Solutions, joining us here on AgriTalk.
Coming soon, it's Holiday Wars.
Honey, do your parents have to stay here?
A family at a breaking point.
That's my food! Ugh.
Battle lines were drawn.
But you love Aunt Marnie.
Suddenly, Prime Video appeared. Enter new holiday hits like Red One and Candy Cane Lane on Prime. Movies like Home Alone and Miracle on 34th Street to rent or buy. The chaos silenced.
That was fun. Can your parents leave now?
Come together at the holidays with Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership not required to rent or buy. See Amazon.com/Prime for details.
Steel holiday savings are here. Make room under the tree for gifts at the top of their wish list. Right now, power up the holidays with great deals on long-lasting tools. Find the perfect gift at your local Steel dealer or shop the Steel Holiday Gift Guide at steelusa.com.
Did you know that driving under the influence of marijuana is illegal? Driving high will get you a DUI. And if you're wondering if law enforcement can tell you're driving high, well, everyone else can. Friends?
I can tell you drove high.
Parents?
I can tell when you drive high.
Relatives?
I can tell. You drove here high, didn't you?
So what makes you think law enforcement can't?
I can tell.
If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
Trusted steel power in the palm of your hand. This holiday season, save $30 on the GTA 26 handheld garden pruner. Now just $149.99. Check off a gift from the top of their wish list and make trimming tree limbs a breeze with a lightweight design and 4-inch cutting bar. Visit your local steel dealer today or shop online at steelusa.com. Was $179.99 MSRP. Includes battery and charger. Offer valid for a limited time only at participating dealers while supplies last.
Tim Tudor is a technical marketing manager for corn and wheat at BASF. Tim, we spend so much time talking about crop protection for a reason, and that's because crop protection is really revenue protection, right?
Absolutely is, Chip. You know, diseases, environmental stress, they all cost growers year after year. I think soybean diseases, we've seen they can cost roughly $45 an acre. We've seen the American soybean yield reduced by 11%. And if we're thinking about our corn acre, if we look back to 2022, tar spot cost growers roughly 117 million bushels. So it really has the potential to impact your bottom line.
Yeah, and what you're doing with fungicides is really looking to increase your chances of success, correct?
Exactly. And that's what you get with a BASF performance driven fungicide like Veltima on your corn or Revitec on your soybeans. Our products offer more than just disease control. You get those additional benefits of environmental stress mitigation, optimizing growth efficiency, all of which is what results in our BASF brands outperforming other fungicides on the market 8 times out of 10 and the untreated acre 9 times out of 10.
Fantastic. Okay, Kim, now is the time to be making some choices on crop protection for the year ahead with the deals that BASF is offering, right?
Absolutely. As we begin preparing for the 2025 season, we've locked in 0% financing on our crop protection and seed treatment brands through March 15th.
Excellent, Kim. Where can listeners go for more information?
They can visit basf-grower-finance.com to learn more.
Fantastic. Thank you, Kim. Kim Tudor, Technical Marketing Manager for Corn and Wheat at BASF.
My name is Andrew Cruz. I'm here working for Cruz Farms. I'm a fourth generation farmer. So we have about 1,200 acres here. Performance has been really good. Standability has been really good. Our corn just looks really, really good. It just doesn't look like it's been subjected to any wind or anything like that, and it stood up to the test.
Chase Witzel, I'm a GHX specialist. GHX offers flat per acre pricing. You're putting the right seed on the right acre for the right price. Doesn't matter the population, and I think that's helping people maximize yield. Overall, we have some new hybrids coming out that I think a lot of people are excited for, and this year overall, I mean, from most of my customers, this has been one of their better harvests they've ever had.
Our dealers recommend the right stuff for the right soil. To me, is the most important thing. Golden Harvest has some good numbers. I will consider Golden Harvest 2025 season.
The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Rook, subbing in today for Chip Flory. Darren Frywater Street Solutions is with us today. And before the break, we were talking about, you know, inflation data this week being neutral, maybe a little bit hotter than expected, actually. And whether or not that was going to impact the Fed's decision. And why that's important is because, man, the equity markets have just been on a tear here up until this week. We started to see a little bit of profit taking. Do you think we'll see profit taking into the end of the year? Will we see it regardless of what we get from the Fed here next week on the 17th and 18th when they meet? And how will that impact money flow in the ag markets?
That's a big question to answer. You know, it's hard to say how the market will be impacted by the Fed's decision. I guess a lot of it depends on what Chairman Powell says in his remarks. I do think that the economy is stronger than what a lot of people have thought it to be. We've seen it be a little bit more inflationary, and that should bring out a little bit more of a hawkish response. Obviously, you know, cutting interest rate is dovish, raising interest rates is hawkish, and obviously trying to slow down that economy, they've just gone the other way with a couple interest rate declines, right? So have they gone too quick or too much? I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see what he says. The stock market has a green light for higher here. So does cryptocurrency. So do a lot of risk on assets. And I don't think that's going to necessarily mean that people are just going to jump out and take profits. I do think that the Trump election, or the election that said Trump won, I think that's made morale and sentiment a lot more friendly, small businesses in the financial side. And I think that there is some upside here left in this market. So will that affect commodities? Yeah, it'll continue to mean commodities lose to equities, lose to other asset classes. And I think at some point that's going to reverse, but I just don't see that as of now.
Well, and I wanted you to explain that, because sometimes when we talk about a risk on or a risk off day and that money flow is impacting the ag sector, I get farmers that get mad because they want to talk about fundamentals. But money flow is such a big part of the dynamic of the ag markets today, isn't it?
Yeah, and money, I mean, I know that aggravates us as producers because, gosh darn it, why can't we get these things to move in the upward direction? But money flow is a fundamental. It's a huge fundamental, and you can't fight it. And when money is flowing out of a sector and into another one, you can't fight it. It's like Bitcoin makes no sense to 90% of the people on the planet, but it keeps going up, and other things that have what we would consider real value keep going down, right? And it's not always a function of supply and demand and fundamentals that we know today. It's a function of money flow until those fundamentals that maybe are underlying the supply and demand are strong enough to push that market in the direction it needs to go. And that's what we've seen in corn. Regardless of what's happening, now the fundamentals have gotten strong enough, and the funds may be looking at inflation as well as the fundamentals around corn usage and ending stocks. They now want to be a buyer of that.
So you bring up a great point, because it dovetails into my next question, which is one area that the funds have been putting a lot of money into is the meat sector. They're record long in the hogs. They're very long historically in the cattle market. So do they keep pumping money over there?
Well, I think so. You know, the trends are up in cattle. They've been up for 48 months or 52 months or something like that. And everybody is afraid because high prices cure high prices, right? But we haven't seen retention like we need to expand the herd. We've had heavy carcass weights that have allowed us to meet the needs of the demand side along with imports. And we're just not seeing anything be cured as far as the smaller numbers, right? And the consumer is still feeling okay about spending money. And so I don't see the cattle thing changing until we get higher or out into that January through April timeframe, where you normally would put a long-term cyclical high atop. And I just don't see that coming quite yet. Even though we're at these high prices, this rally's been led by feeder cattle, and feeder cattle are the leaders here, and they continue to push the beef higher. We've seen the cash market be on fire this week, and the charts look good. And it just seems like the point of least resistance is up right now.
So the live cattle futures, as you mentioned, got pushed by higher cash. We went up into new highs for the move yesterday and then had a bit of a reversal, but back up today. So did we negate that negative technical?
Yeah, you have a bullish engulfing candle on the charts after today's action. And that really looks good for higher. We need to see follow through next week. And that's what a bullish candle would say, is we're going to see follow through for the next 3 to 5 days. Let's see if it happens. But this was a good weekly close.
The feeders, though, we saw some weakness today, and we're getting some indications that APHIS has reached some protocols with the government in Mexico to reopen the Mexican border here after they shut it down on that case of New World screwworm. So how do you anticipate the market is going to digest that?
Well, I think it could psychologically have an impact on it, maybe a slight correction, but I guess I'd watch where support levels are. And if that news is out and we start seeing a negative impact, obviously that could roll the complex over. But I just don't know if it'll make enough difference with where the market sits and the tightness of numbers. So we'll see.
Yeah, I was going to say the feeder market. We had a little correction on the cash this week, as I understand, but that thing's been on fire because you just can't make any more of them. So
that's right.
All right.
That's right.
Well, Darren, it has been a pleasure. You have a great holiday, a great Christmas with the family, and we appreciate your time.
Hey, I wish you the same and all the listeners out there. Merry Christmas.
All right. Darren Frywater Street Solutions. And Davis is going to come back in and look at our National Weather Service outlook.
I sure am. The 6 to 10 day temperature outlook, according to the National Weather Service Climate Prediction Center, this valid December 19 through the 23rd. Kind of the same deal here, west of the Missouri River, let's just call that. Let's imagine that runs all the way top to bottom, north to south there, above normal temperatures expected. The other half of the nation, below normal temperatures. On the precipitation, pretty much everybody except the eastern seaboard is below or well below precipitation expected. Michelle, thanks so much for being with us here and taking all the time with us. We really appreciate it. Would you take us out into Friday?
You bet. Well, thanks, Davis. And thanks to our producer, Big Apple, Joe Stackler. Again, I'm Michelle Rook. Thanks for joining us. We're listening to AgriTalk.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
It doesn't matter how a hybrid or variety performs across the country or even in the next town over. At Golden Harvest, we know local results start with local expertise.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, like knowing that diner on Main Street has the best slice of pie, or knowing the matchup every Friday night. It takes someone who truly knows your acres and will be there every step of the way to make sure you see results. Learn more at goldenharvestseeds.com.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the famous footwear that everyone has on their holiday wish list. So don't wait to make it famous. Whether you're searching for their favorite character shoes or the hottest sneakers, slippers, and boots, Famous Footwear has the newest styles from Nike, Adidas, Crocs, Converse, New Balance, Birkenstock, Timberland, and more. Unwrap Famous today and make everyone's holidays merry with buy one, get one half off at your local Famous Footwear or Famous.com. Some exclusions apply.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The man charged with the murder of United Healthcare CEO in New York could soon be returning to New York sooner to face charges. Luigi Mangione.